Very good morning, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to see you all in the house of the Lord today, and something very interesting happened in my home, because my kids, since yesterday, when I was nursing a sore throat, says, "Dad, take MC." So I say, "Today, if I'm MC, who's going to preach?" It's pretty last minute, you know, to call upon anyone. So I say, well, we'll just trust the grace of the Lord and pray for me as I share the word with you. Well, first of all, we want to praise and thank God for a very wonderful and blessed Parents Appreciation Evening last night. I think the people whom we invited, our loved ones, many of them, as I speak for myself and my wife and my wife's cousin's family, I think they have just come to our church for the parents' appreciation first time. So I'm glad they can hear the gospel and they can watch how we Christians work together and also show love to our parents and our grandparents. So let's pray the little seed sown in their hearts will bear fruit. And last night we have a very special guest. Some of you missed it. My mother came. Yeah, my mother came, and it was wonderful to have her with us last night. Now, I'm not going to elaborate too much because of my throat, but I want you to continue to support in prayer two very big events in the month of June, and today is the first day, and the first Lord's Day of June. We have the coming church family camp, all right? So pray that the Lord will bless in His own way, reviving the church. And secondly, continue to pray for the Ultimate Quest children. Yesterday, they held a pizza workshop, and more than a third of the children came back last week. So we praise God for that too. All right, and some of them are from one of our sisters' primary school. About 10 or 8 of them came, and they are unsaved children. All right, so do continue to pray with regards to this. And one final thing at the end of the month is our gospel meeting. This is our first English gospel meeting as I understand it. And we will need your support not only in prayer but in your presence as well as in your seeking to bring someone, all right, for this gospel meeting. So last Saturday of June after our camp. So let's all work together to bring souls into His kingdom. Now today I begin a new series for Adult Sunday School entitled Created for His Glory. We will be looking at the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians can be divided into three main sections: the wealth of the Christian, the walk of the Christian, and the warfare of the Christian. All right, so we'll be looking at that. First of all, seeing the grand reality, and secondly, experiencing the grand reality, which is God, in our daily living as Christian. So let me invite you to join us. First Sunday, we meet up in the balcony, 11:30 a.m. Thank you. Let's bow forward a prayer, shall we? Eternal God, our loving Father, we thank you for your wondrous blessing. First of all, the blessing of salvation so graciously provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, to undeserving sinners like us. And secondly, for using us, unworthy as we are, to be your instruments of grace, to share the gospel with those who are unsaved, be it our friends, relatives, or strangers. And we pray that, Lord, you will use us to bring them into your kingdom by the working of your Holy Spirit through the testimony and witness of our lives. And now, Lord, may you strengthen your servant and give the voice, the wisdom, and the grace to deliver your word. And I ask this to the praise of your glory. Amen. There was a story about a pastor in a church that was very annoyed by an elderly man in his congregation because he falls asleep during the sermon. All right, singing, no problem. When the sermon starts, he falls asleep. So the pastor scratched his head and said, what shall I do to encourage people who are sleeping, you know, in the sermon? So one day he decides to speak to the man's grandson who sits with him during the service. And he told the grandson, look, I will give you 50 cents if you can keep grandpa awake during my sermon. Well, the plan worked for 2 Sundays. And the pastor was very pleased. On the 3rd Sunday, the elderly man falls asleep again. Of course, the pastor was puzzled. So after the service, he speaks to the grandson. Say, why didn't you keep your grandpa awake? Well, the grandson said, my grandpa gave me $1 to let him sleep. Now, we are not going to do here and ask your children to give you awake. I'm not going to give 50 cents or a dollar. But I trust that you will nudge each other if you see somebody going like that, you know. All right, just give a gentle nudge. Don't kick the chair, all right, in front of you, please. Just a gentle tap, okay, will help us to keep awake as we listen to the Word of God. Now, today I want to share a series of messages based on our Constitution, which listed several responsibilities of communicants or church members of New Life. And I want to preach this series of messages to remind you, all right, as a member of New Life, you have these responsibilities to fulfill. And sometimes we forget, so we need to be reminded. And today I begin with the observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, there are 2 ordinances which we Protestants recognize, right? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, while baptism is the initiatory rite, the Lord's Supper is the continuing rite of the visible church. And Scripture tells us that it is instituted by the Lord Jesus on the night of his betrayal. But more than anything else, the Lord's Supper service is a time of remembrance. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And that is the thought I wish to consider with you this morning. Allow me to share 3 facts regarding the nature of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is firstly a time of commemoration. The word commemorate means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony, or to serve as a memorial to something. So if the Lord's Supper is anything, it is a memorial. It is a time to remember Jesus and what he did for us on Calvary's cross. So when we take the bread and the cup every 1st Sunday during our Holy Communion, we are remembering the day when Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. It is a symbol, and I say a symbol, of the eternal work God did through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do we commemorate? Well, I've mentioned already, but I'll elaborate a bit. We commemorate, firstly, his suffering. His suffering, his passion on the cross. Verse 24 and also verse 25 talk about the broken body and the blood of Jesus. And both of these vivid phrases bring to mind suffering and pain, right? When do you bleed? When you get a cut, you have a wound, you fall, you get a bruise. So it speaks of pain and suffering. When we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember that Jesus Christ suffered horribly for us in order to save us from our sins. You know, Beloved and friends, salvation is free. We cannot earn it by our own merits, but it is costly. It cost God the Son his life and his sacrifice. So Jesus, as Isaiah 53 vividly described his passion, was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. So the Son of God became a man, he lived and died in this world to redeem the lost. He suffered shame, rejection, poverty, pain, and eventually the crucifixion, all right? Death by crucifixion. So this is the first thing we commemorate, his suffering as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Secondly, we commemorate his sacrifices, his sacrifice. The fact that the Lord Jesus was in a human body speaks of the sacrifice he made to redeem us. In fact, the giving of himself as our sacrifice was the whole purpose in coming to this world in the first place. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 and 12 says this. Shall we read together? And every priest standeth daily, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. So the Lord gave himself as a propitiatory sacrifice to appease the wrath of God upon our sin. Now, the notion that we actually eat Jesus' body and drink his blood, and I want to say this before I move on to the next point, is absurd. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you." You know, in the Lord's discourses, if you read John and others, you find that the Lord uses metaphors to describe himself. For example, John 10:10, "I am the good shepherd." Right? "The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." And then he compares a good shepherd with a hireling. Right? But was Jesus a shepherd by vocation? No, we know he wasn't. He was a carpenter. Because sons in those days, Jewish sons in those days, take after the trade of their fathers. And Joseph was a carpenter. So the notion we actually eat his blood, drink his body, drink his blood is absurd, because he was speaking metaphorically. So the same here, when he says, "This is my body," he says the bread symbolizes the body of the Lord Jesus. The blood, the cup of the vine, symbolizes his shed blood on the cross. So when the bread and the juice are passed around later on in our Lord's Supper, stop to remember what Jesus did for you. We are here to commemorate his suffering and his sacrifice for us. And it should also be an occasion where you and I recommit ourselves to the Lord. And may we do that and draw close to him. Secondly, the Lord's Supper is a time of celebration. Just as much as it is a commemoration, it is also a celebration. The word celebrate means to mark a special occasion or day by ceremonies or festivities. It comes from a Latin word that means to attend a feast. So last night at Hilltop Restaurant in Bukit Batok, we celebrate in our PAN dinner, Parents Appreciation Dinner, we celebrate our parents' love and sacrifice for us, their children. And here, in the Lord's Supper, we are attending a feast that Jesus has prepared for those who belong to him. And we celebrate a few things as believers in Christ. What are these? Well, firstly, we celebrate his compassion. Notice the words in verse 24, for you. These words remind us that Jesus suffered all what he did, all because he loved us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we celebrate his compassion as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 reminds us. Here it says that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, I underline those words to emphasize, all right? For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus had no sin of himself to die for. He's the perfect Son of God. But he willingly took upon himself our sins that we might be delivered from the penalty of it. What love that Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, would give himself for you and me. And we are truly undeserving of it. But he did. Romans 5:8 reminds us, but God commendeth or demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's because of his great mercy, his great love. So we celebrate the Lord's compassion for sinners. Secondly, we celebrate his conquest as we come to the table of the Lord. Now, what is not mentioned in these verses but is clearly implied is the fact that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead after his death on the cross. I think verse 26 gives us an inference of that, doesn't it? Which is our memory verse. Those of you who have committed it to memory, shall we memorize it together? 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Why till he come? What does till he comes tells us? Till he comes infer implies that he must have risen from the dead. He did not remain buried, but he was resurrected. As Paul tells us later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we call it the Great Resurrection chapter, where he begins with the resurrection of Christ, the first fruits of our resurrection. And then he talks about the resurrection of our bodies as well in 1 Corinthians 15. So we celebrate his conquest over death. We celebrate his conquest over sin, and we celebrate his conquest over the world and the devil. He came to render the power of the evil one inoperative in the lives of those who trust in him and walk with him. And thank God, because he lives, all of us who have believed in him will live also. Thirdly, we celebrate not only his compassion, his conquest, but we also celebrate his coming. And we're clearly told that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are telling this world that we believe Jesus is coming again. Ye do show the Lord's death. The word show means proclaim. We declare, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So we celebrate his coming, and that is Jesus' promise to believers in John 14:1-3. He says, he go away to prepare a place for us, and he will come again to bring us unto himself. Right? And this is reaffirmed in the closing words of the Bible in Revelation 22:20. So my friends and beloved, Jesus is coming again. Every time we come together to observe the Lord's Supper, every Lord's Day we come for worship, we must be ready because He comes quickly. His return will be imminent. There will be no warning. All right? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed if He comes in our lifetime. So the Lord's Supper is firstly a time of what? Commemoration, right? Secondly, a time of celebration. But thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a time of contemplation. A time for contemplation. That word means to think about something seriously and at length. When I think of what Jesus suffered for me, I want to worship Him. When I think of all the things we are here to celebrate, I want to shout His praises because He conquered death, He conquered sin, He conquered Satan, He conquered the world, and I want to shout praises to Him. But what we understand in verses 27 onwards to verse 32 is that the Lord's Supper is also a very serious time. It is a time for us to reflect upon the condition of our lives, our relationship with God and with one another, before we participate in taking the bread and drinking the cup of the vine. And I think in this regard, I just pause here before I go to our sub-points. If we realize this, as Scripture taught us, we cannot treat the Lord's Supper in a frivolous manner, which some people encourage that in practice. Now, I know I may sound negative and some of you don't like it at all, but the truth has to be what? Defended. All right? And the truth of the Scripture is that it is not something trivial, frivolous. It cannot be done any old how. It is a church ordinance to be observed by the people of God when they gather. How frequently? The Scripture does not tell us. So each church will decide. I think once a month is a good frequency. Too often, we may lose its meaning, isn't it? But too little. And somebody just shared with me recently that there's a church that only celebrates the Lord's Supper once a year. I think that is really too little and not good enough for the obedience to keep and observe this ordinance of the Lord till He comes. And worse, not only once a year, the pastor doesn't announce when it will be held. So, even once a year, some of the congregants or communicants will miss it. Because on the Sunday you are not here, he may say, today we are observing the Lord's table. All right? And then some churches, of course, observe the communion as health reason. So buy the pre-prepared cup, the juice, and then the bread. Buy as many as you can. Every day go home, take one each. Like eating Brand's essence of chicken, you know, for your health. I think that is wrong. Unscriptural. All right? And I hope our church will not go that direction. It is a church ordinance. Let's do it properly. All right? Let's not worry about other people. But I want to say that there are practices like that, all right, out in Christendom. So we need to be aware. So a time for contemplation. What do we contemplate? Well, we contemplate, firstly, our salvation. And by that, I mean our relationship with God. If the Lord's Supper signifies, at least in part, a spiritual relationship between the individual and the Lord, then it follows that a personal relationship with God is a prerequisite for observing or partaking the bread and the cup. Now, 1 Corinthians is a very interesting letter of Paul because you find that this was a very divided church with a lot of problems. And Paul wrote to address the many different problems in the church at Corinth. However, in spite of all their sins and their failures in this church, Paul writes to them as saved people. All right? And he calls them saints. Go back home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the beginning verses. He called them saints, holy ones, and he called them brothers. These are terms of endearment and also terms of what? A believer, not a non-believer. So don't be too quick to judge one another, is my point here, all right? Sometimes we say, oh, this guy missed church, you know, only comes once a month. I know it's not good to do that, right? It's wrong. But don't conclude and say, that guy must be unsafe. Paul doesn't, despite the sins and failures of the church in Corinth. He writes to correct their behavior and their conduct, and he teaches them the basis for those conduct, the theological basis, why they must do certain things. And here is one of them, the Lord's Supper. All right. So he's giving details here of a celebration, a commemoration that is for believers only. I want to emphasize that it is for believers only. And while no age qualifications can be spelled out in hard and fast fashion, I think the communicant should be mature enough to be able to do what Paul says in verse 29, and that is to discern the Lord's body. All right? I'll explain that term in a short while. So based on this, infants who are baptized, children who have not reaffirmed their faith, are not to participate in the bread and the cup. We are glad you are here today, but if you are not a Christian, then you should let the bread and the cup pass you by, because the Lord's Supper is only for believers. And you should come to Jesus and be saved right now so that you can be made worthy to participate in this great time of celebration. So we contemplate firstly our relationship with God, secondly our sanctification, our walk with God. Notice verse 27, there's a word there that bothers me. I'm not sure whether it bothers you. And it is the word unworthily. Right? Verse 27 tells us, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The terms not discerning the Lord's body has the idea of treating Jesus like the mocking and jeering crowds at his crucifixion. It means that we treat his broken body and his shed blood as if it meant nothing. We do not know the significance of his death, which I've mentioned earlier in the earlier points, you see. And so you and I should come to the Lord's table examining our hearts so that we will not partake of the table of the Lord unworthily. What happens when we do not examine our hearts and we partake of his table with an unclean heart, or as Paul puts it here, not discerning the Lord's body? Well, Paul says, as a result of that, some of them are sick. Verse 30. Right? And some of them die. Sleep is a euphemistic term for death. So some of them died because they partake of the bread and the cup unworthily. And all, verse 32 says, will be chastened if they partake of it unworthily. So the question is, what are we to do? What are we to do? We are to examine ourselves, as verse 31 reminds us. Verse 31 reminds us. And we do that so that the Holy Spirit can bring to light our sins, that we may confess them to God in repentance. And when we do that, the Bible in 1 John 1:9 tells us that we can expect God's forgiveness. And when we do not do that, we expect His chastisement. All right? So let us contemplate, let us examine ourselves. Let us keep short accounts with our God before we partake. It is that serious, beloved. In fact, it is so serious that I would say to you that if you have sinned in your life and you do not plan to confess it to God, you stubbornly want to live in your sin and not deal with it, then you should let the bread and the cup pass you by. Otherwise, you'll be taking it unworthily. Now, we're almost ready to come to the Lord's table. But before we do, let us have a time of contemplation. And I'm going to extend a challenge to you today to examine your heart. And also, every time we are gathered here on the first Sunday for Holy Communion, let us remember to examine our hearts and bring our sins in confession and repentance to the Lord before we partake. And here are a few questions I would like you to ask yourself. Firstly, am I really saved? Is Jesus my Savior? Are you sure? The Lord's table is only for believers. If you are a believer, you are sure of your salvation and relationship with God, then you are qualified to partake. Am I clean before Him today? Have all of my sins been confessed? Well, we need to do that in a short while. So let's get ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ at His table this morning. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Right now, as we come before the Lord's table, we thank You we can claim Your promise in Your word that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thank You that the Lord's Supper is a time of commemoration where we commemorate the Lord Jesus suffering and sacrifice for us, and that it is also a time of celebration. Yes, we praise You because it is a time we celebrate Your conquest over sin and death and Satan and the world for us. And it is a time for us to celebrate Your compassion and also Your coming again for Your own. And now help us to recommit ourselves anew to You as living sacrifices, to let You use us in whatever way You deem fit. Yes, may each of us who knows You surrender our lives to our Master and our Savior, in whose name I ask all this. Amen.